And we're back. Welcome back to Inside Charlottesville. I'm your guest host, Rick Sincere, sitting in for Coy Barefoot, who's on vacation. I'll be back again next week, Thursday and Friday, with some more guests. We've had some great fun today. We just had a half hour talking about jury trials and 12 Angry Men and ethics. And our next guest is also a legal analyst, Walter Olson, a senior fellow at the Cato Institute and the editor and publisher of Overlawyered.com. Walter, welcome to Inside Charlottesville.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
We were just talking about legal ethics, but I'm looking at your website here, Overlawyered, and I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what the purpose of that website is. What is it that you write about there? And then maybe we can get into some individual issues.
I started it way back in 1999 when there were hardly any blogs because I noticed that there were an endless supply of stories about the craziness of the legal system, and I've written books about that. People were sending me stories. I was seeing the clips in newspapers, and I thought, you know, someone ought to document, catalog, and analyze why it is that our system does these things and what kinds of things it keeps doing again and again. So that was 16 years ago, and since then, I can say I've never run out of material.
Yeah, I can see that. You probably have four or five or six posts just today, starting with something about the Green Bay Packers. What's that all about?
Well, you know, this is a non-litigation post, but I had seen, and you may have seen, on discussions between left and right, some people will say, well, if you don't like socialism, you don't like the Green Bay Packers because they're community-owned. They're owned by their city, and that's how socialism works. And it never quite seemed to make sense. I'm not a football fan, but it still didn't quite seem to make sense that the city of Green Bay, Wisconsin, was doing this. And so I waited, and eventually someone wrote an article going into detail about how, no, it isn't the city of Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's organized like many other businesses, and they just arrange for a lot of people who are interested in the team to have a chance to own it, again, like many other businesses. And so there's a community involvement that there isn't when it's a single owner, but it's nothing like socialism.
And a lot of the posts that you've got on overlawyer.com have a dark humor element to it. For instance, another one from today is talking about a person who's suing a concert hall because they injured themselves by sliding down the banister of a staircase.
Well, it's darker than that because it's the survivors who are suing.
Ah.
But this is a theme, and some of these cases are obviously sad if you are anywhere near them and the people involved. But at the same time, you step back and you think, where have we gotten ourselves that open and obvious dangers? And again, this was not an 8-year-old sliding down a banister. This was a 28-year-old. And it was still claimed that they should have deterred it further by, you know, putting spikes on it. I'm not sure exactly what would have worked. But the this is one of the hardy perennials, one of the things that people come in on search because they're interested in these cases, is the not legendary stories of burglars falling through skylights. I mean, we think, oh, well, these are urban legends sometimes, but actually there are cases where burglars who have been injured have sued the property owners and sometimes gotten money. So that theme of individual responsibility, namely that someone who is doing something wildly reckless or perhaps even in some cases committing a crime, should not probably be collecting money afterward.
One of the things that's developed over the past couple of decades is some absurd-looking labels on consumer products, like, you know, do not put children in the clothes dryer.
Well, in fact, I think John Stossel later tonight is going to be unveiling the winners or letting his audience vote on them of the annual Wacky Warning Label Contest. And this, again, I've been documenting this and picking out my own favorites. You know, some of them are just funny, like the baby stroller that says remove child before folding. And the my favorite of all is the cardboard sunscreen that goes in your windshield, you know, to keep the car from overheating when you're away from it. And it has begun to say, in instances that I know of and have seen, do not drive with sunshield in place.
What explains this kind of over-labeling, which is a parallel to over-lawyering?
Very often there is a lawsuit somewhere in the background, and you see this partly because, you know, I've seen some of the initial cases that led to the warnings. Like, if you've ever seen on "Do not use as a candle," there were some teenagers who poured, I don't know what kind of flammable fluid it was, but they were trying to make a homemade candle out of it, and of course they hurt themselves badly, and it was tragic. But anytime you get a personal injury claim, you are talking about potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars of defense, and if there is sympathy, settlement value. And so you wound up with these warnings to not just do the obvious types of abuse, but types of abuse that would never occur to most of us. But, the lawyers would say, and it's hard to say no to your lawyer, you know, they're trying to protect you, and they know more about the issues than you do, and they're going to be overcautious. So you wind up in the country, for example, depending on how your state's laws go, you have people posting their property against hunting and trespassing who would have been happy to have many of these activities, except that they've been warned by some lawyer or some friend's lawyer. Look, it's a liability if someone hurts themselves on your property, and there's no upside, so just post against trespassing.